You are Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, Heat Nation. I'm David Ermil, a credentialed reporter and the host of Locked On Heat, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Please make sure to subscribe to the show whenever you listen to podcasts to get the latest episodes. It's a special episode of the show as Duncan Robinson, one of the best shooters in NBA and Miami Heat franchise history, joins me on the podcast. Duncan talked to me this past weekend about what life in the bubble has been like, getting ready for the NBA playoffs, his connection with Bam Adebayo, and how he continues to make progress to become more than just a great shooter. He's a really good player to talk to, so I hope you'll enjoy the interview to get ready for the playoff matchup versus the Indiana Pacers. Special thanks to the Heat and their incredible media staff that has been so good at keeping lines of communication open with reporters throughout the past few months and for making this interview possible. Here is Duncan Robinson. I'm here with Duncan Robinson of the Miami Heat, straight from the Orlando bubble. First and foremost, Duncan, how are you doing?
Doing well. We just finished up practice. So just getting some rest and recovery in, but doing well, can't complain.
So I think the news of the day obviously is Jimmy Butler charging $20 for a cup of coffee. Do you drink coffee?
I don't, but if I did, I would not be buying it from him because that is absolutely ridiculous. But you know, it's Jimmy, so he's just going to do what he wants to do.
$20. I mean, what's the secret there? Is he doing something special to the coffee aside from just regular beans and water? As far as I'm concerned, that's all there is to it.
Yeah, he claims it's world class coffee, one of a kind. I'm not much of a coffee drinker, but you know, it doesn't surprise me that he would claim that.
Yeah, $20 seems a little excessive. But, you know, I think, you know, obviously Jimmy's been a pretty strong personality throughout his NBA career. Are you a little surprised at his fit in Miami? I think just from an on-court perspective, certainly it seemed like it would make a lot of sense to add a player of his talent. But having been in that locker room and seeing the camaraderie amongst everybody in that locker room, were you a little surprised at his fit so well?
I wouldn't say surprised. You know, obviously he had a reputation for whatever reason, at least in the media, but everybody that I had talked to prior to him getting here spoke very highly of him. And then obviously, you know, my experiences with him have been nothing but great. He's been a great mentor to me, a great leader for this team, and I think he really just fits in with, you know, the culture in Miami and really pushes it forward. And, you know, like I said, I've learned a lot from him, and he certainly raised my level just from a competitive standpoint as well.
Yeah, I remember talking to Myers back in April, and he said something similar that, you know, around the league, he seems to be pretty well respected, and yet somehow he's developed this kind of weird reputation, but it just hasn't shown up here in Miami, at least. And I think another part of it, too, is that most of the people in the locker room, if not everyone in the locker room, has really embraced that Heat culture, the commitment to work, and you're certainly an embodiment of that. Has that been your experience as well?
Yeah, very similar to what Myers had said. You know, he's, for, you know, reputations, for whatever reason, kind of tend to take on a life of their own. And it's been my experience, you know, obviously my time in the NBA has been brief, but it's been my experience that reputations in the media are not always as close to reality as you may think. Jimmy's been awesome, just from a leadership perspective and taking younger guys under his wing, and also just his impact on winning, obviously. I mean, that's probably what you guys see on display the most, but he really does so much behind the scenes as well in terms of the day-to-day practice and just being a great teammate.
You got a good story for us?
Nothing really sticks out. I mean, I think the biggest one was his first day. It was probably a week before training camp officially started, and you know, he spends a lot of time out of Miami on the off season, and I think he was coming back from being over in Europe, and just his first day being with us all and us playing, there was just a noticeable raise in the energy in the gym, and you know, pickup started, and he was kind of working his way into it, and then of course by the end of pickup, It was full blown Jimmy mode. You know, he was chewing people out and talking all sorts of trash. And I think one of the things that he appreciated and respected is that, you know, guys weren't folding or wilting, but instead kind of giving it back to him. So I think that in and of itself really embodied just kind of this whole season for us, that he's very much our leader and pushes the tempo with that sort of stuff, but we also try to pick up and you know, bring that same sort of intensity as well.
Yeah, it's interesting because I think that's a big part of it too, is that, you know, everybody's willing to kind of stand up to not just him but around the league. You recently had, I want to go so far as to call it a skirmish. I know you already downplayed it, that little incident with Chris Paul. You said it was, I know in the post-game comments you mentioned that it wasn't anything out of the ordinary for him to throw the ball like that. But, I mean, Paul, again, has that kind of a reputation for maybe being a little bit of a cheap shot artist and stuff like that. Were you a little surprised at him throwing the ball that way and the way that Jimmy stood up, not just for you, but, again, to represent all of Heat culture?
Yeah, to be honest with you, in the moment, it really just felt like a basketball play.
Really? Okay.
You know, prior to it, him and I were going back and forth a little bit, but it wasn't anything outlandish or disrespectful. But I do understand the optics of it. I actually, looking back and seeing it, kind of realized the optics were actually different than what my experience was. For me, it felt really very much like a basketball play, but I will also say I told Jimmy this privately, but he's our leader, and for him to step up and kind of take matters into his own hands, and then also the comments he shared afterwards, just that he's always going to have my back, obviously meant a lot. Just to know that he's always in my corner.
All right, so moving on to Orlando, you've been there for over a month. It seems almost impossible to think that you guys traveled up there in early July. You had to go through quarantine and everything else. Do you find now in mid-August that you've adjusted to the Orlando environment?
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely been a routine established. At first it was kind of definitely an adjustment period, just getting used to just being in the confines of your room a lot and being around campus, but there's definitely been some comfortability of late, and just kind of gaining that rhythm. And you know, once the game started as well, obviously a lot of your focus and attention shifts to the games and preparing for the games, right. And you're able to kind of get into a little bit more of a rhythm with that. But one thing I will say is it's been great just to be around, you know, this group of guys and we get to spend a lot more time with each other, even more so than during the regular season, just because, you know, we're in Miami, a lot of guys have families and are doing their own thing. But here, there's just a lot more quality time that we're able to spend with each other.
Have you, you're able to fraternize with other guys from other teams at this point, right? That's been lifted?
Yeah, a little bit here and there. I mean, truthfully, like, when I first got here, it was fun to kind of catch up with some guys, whether I played with them in college, right, or beforehand, or knew them from, you know, pre-existing relationships. But now, honestly, as it's kind of moved on, the focus has definitely shifted towards just this group, our teammates, and really preparing for a playoff run. You know, we try not to be too buddy-buddy around the hotel.
Is the kind of rhythm of, you know, game day on and then game day off the next day, and then that break in between, is that easier for you guys? Because I figure, you know, you have your own rhythm. If there's anything, NBA players have a certain routine that they have to follow when they're traveling on the road. You know, you have shoot around the morning of games sometimes, etc. Is it more easy for you to make the kind of adjustment now that you don't have that kind of travel and you're already in Orlando and you just have to figure out, oh, is today a day where we have a game? Is today's a day that we have practice, etc.?
Yeah, but obviously, you know, traveling between cities takes a lot of time, and it also takes a toll on your body. So the recovery period has been great, just being able to on those days off in between games, you're able to get some work in if you need it, a lift, shots, you know, walk and talk some things on the court or whatever we have to do as a team. But also you're really able to get off your feet, go through whatever recovery you need, whether that be treatment, massage, you know, cold tub, all that sort of stuff. So it definitely has helped for sure. I've kind of noticed there's just a little bit less wear on your body, but that's also could be the fact that, you know, we had 3 months off as well, so it's not the normal load of going through an entire season.
Duncan's interview will continue with his thoughts on Bam Adebayo, the Pacers, and his evolution as a player. You're listening to Locked On Heat. Have you missed anything about the experience? Obviously, your family, I hope they're doing well first and foremost, but I imagine that you probably missed something from outside, especially Miami. I know you're a fan of the taco stand in Wynwood. You and I have talked about it before. Is there anything on the Orlando campus that comes close?
No, nothing on the Orlando campus that comes close, unfortunately. First and foremost would be my family. But truthfully, I mean, I live by myself in Miami and kind of like a high-rise condo apartment anyway. So in a lot of ways, my lifestyle hasn't really changed all too much, especially during quarantine. We were all being asked to shelter in place. I was spending a lot of time, you know, within the confines of my own place. So this has actually been a nice, you know, change of pace for me, just because I'm allowed to be around my other teammates, and obviously we're all getting tested and stuff every single day, so there's no risk in that. But I definitely do miss, probably the big one in terms of Miami, is just being able to go out to eat. There's a bunch of different restaurants that I like to go to, and that's one thing that we don't quite have the luxury of doing here. There are a couple different food options, but it's not quite the same.
What's the biggest pastime for you as far as your downtime? I mean, aside from chilling with friends and teammates and stuff like that, are you a gamer? I don't know if you are or not, but has there been anything else that you kind of fill your time with the most?
No, I don't really game too much. I tried once playing with Myers. Myers is incredible. So that ended poorly. So I stopped after that.
I can imagine.
Since I've been here, I do Pilates every now and then. That's something I kind of got into over quarantine. I try to read as much as I can, watch Netflix. We've been playing cards a lot, which I've also kind of struggled with. But just little stuff here and there.
What's the go-to game there? What's the go-to card game for the guys?
We've been playing just poker, Texas Hold'em.
Nice.
Which I hadn't played in a while. I'm more of like a spades, gin rummy guy.
Oh, yeah. All right.
So I hadn't played a lot of poker. So I kind of... I got it handed to me early on, but I'm starting to bounce back, get a little bit of a rhythm. So we'll see if I can turn a corner here soon.
Who's the best poker player on the team?
Man, I mean, a bunch of guys would say themselves. Sure. I would probably say Udonis. I mean, he's got wisdom. You know what I mean? He's been in the trenches for a while. He's got some experience. So I'd probably say him. Jimmy's good. He would be very disappointed if I didn't mention his name, because he certainly thinks he's the best. I'd probably say Goran as well. Goran's good as well.
No way. That I would not have pegged. Like, I mean, I know he's probably got a pretty good stone cold face there, a good poker face, but I could picture UD and Jimmy both talking a lot of shit.
Yeah, I mean, Goran's a shark, man, because he... You know, he acts like he doesn't understand what's going on. He kind of, you know, leans into his accent a little bit and kind of tries to play dumb. And then all of a sudden, he's just, like, taking you for everything you've got. So he's tricky with it for sure. You got to watch out for him.
That is hilarious. I'm glad you shared that. That is a very interesting thing I would not have guessed. Your three-point streak, 57 straight games with a made three-pointer, came to an end against Indiana on Friday. Were you disappointed in that?
Not necessarily. I didn't really know that it was a streak that I had going until, you know, a group chat that I have with some of my friends from back home. They had texted me afterwards. So if I had known, I probably would have been a little bit maybe more bullish and getting some more shots up in my minutes. But with that being said, I still had some opportunities to make one. So I went 0-for-3. But, obviously the end of a streak, but that just gets to – that just means I get to start a new one. So hopefully I can, get back there.
Yeah, I mean, I think watching the games here in Miami, a lot of people get to hear about the streak because Eric Reed is very big about making sure that those kinds of streaks are mentioned very regularly during every broadcast. And so we've all kind of been rooting for you to continue that streak going for as long as possible. And he voiced some disappointment that it had come to an end. But you're right. You bring up a good point that it's an opportunity to start a new streak. So that's a good thing. I also wanted to talk to you a little bit about Bam Adebayo. I read recently that he's assisted more of your made threes than any other player in the league has assisted any player as far as made three-pointers. Did you know about that kind of combination between you and Bam?
I didn't know the specifics of the stats. I mean, obviously, I do know that I really like being out on the floor with him.
Right.
Just his versatility and his ability to decision make and make plays for others. I think everybody's seen it on full display this year, but I think us two in particular have a certain kind of synergy and connection out there. We really like to play off of one another, and we just feel comfortable in those situations. So I didn't know the details of it, but it definitely doesn't surprise me.
What is it as far as that pairing has worked? I mean, you mentioned Bam's passing. I think we all knew that was a certainly a big compliment. But have you worked well in the kind of dribble handoffs that seem to be a big part of that synergy that you mentioned? Have you worked on that throughout your career? Is that kind of a new wrinkle in your offensive repertoire?
I wouldn't necessarily call it new. I've definitely done more and more of it since being in Miami. You know, it was something that I worked a ton on last year, being in the G League as well. A lot of it was stuff that I'd taken from Wayne Ellington.
Sure.
And, you know, I know Wayne and Bam really had a connection with it as well. So a lot of it was just kind of watching film and just kind of recognizing the footwork and what it takes to free yourself up. And I mean, a lot of the work is done by Bam as well to create space on his defender and then also set a good screen and know when to hand it off, know when to keep it, and to go through those decisions. And another thing I love about Bam is when I come off, I can always throw it back and come back off. And
yeah,
he understands, you know, the difficulty of kind of exhausting that action and not just having it be a one pass type of thing, but just continuing to push through it and making the defense work.
How often is Bam actually, having an offensive foul when he sets those screens? Because he seems like he walks a really fine line. He's mastered it, to be honest with you. I'm a little surprised at how young he is and how good he is at setting those screens. But with that connection and the quick passing ability, it almost always seems like that's going to get called for an offensive foul. How often do you think he's actually walking that line?
He's gotten really good at it, and Bam is, you know, sets great screens. I think part of it is just understanding the defense. I mean, we talk about the fact that very rarely are guys going to try to shoot underneath the screen on me. So for him, it's not necessarily always about crushing my defender, but just continuing to make sure that he has to go over that screen. And a lot of times that will require his big to jump out at me, and then the play is simple. I just throw a pocket pass to him, and we're playing with an advantage on the backside. So I think it's something he's gotten a lot better at. It's a ton of credit to him. I think another part of it also is just the respect that he's starting to garner in this league. You see guys, you know, we kind of joke about it as a team. Like, Chris Silva always gets called for illegal screens just
yeah,
because, unfortunately for him, he just doesn't have that respect yet. I hope one day that isn't the case, but that's just kind of the reality of some of the referees in this league. A lot of them tend to ref the name on the jersey, whether they like to admit it or not.
Well, I mean, you're getting kind of a reputation yourself. I mean, I think just we've seen that, I think, a little bit more evident in the bubble. Maybe it's just because of the close proximity and the fact that, you know, games can be scattered a little bit more. But it seems like your gravity has increased more than ever. Do you kind of feel that way as well from other opposing defenses, that they're kind of they're sticking to you a little bit more than they would normally or have during the rest of the regular season?
A little bit. I've definitely noticed some adjustments just to be more and more physical. A lot of that stuff I was seeing towards the end of the season before I went on hiatus as well. But I would probably agree. I mean, there's definitely been an increased focus. I think a part of that also was the fact that two of our primary ball handlers between Jimmy and Goran had also missed some times in these games. So I had become a little bit more of a focal point in the offense. But absolutely, I think as the playoffs go on as well, you know, you're playing the same teams over and over, and teams are going to adjust and find ways, or at least to try to find ways to scheme to take things away. So that's going to require, you know, myself to get more and more creative. And, you know, also if that means me sacrificing and just creating space for others, I'm more than willing to do it as long as it ends up as a net positive.
Well, I think that's another big part of it, too, is that we've kind of seen you be able to find those seams in the defense a lot more. You've been able to kind of exploit those, even though I was a little surprised to look this up. More of your offense came at the rim last year than it did this season. Like, most of your offense clearly is coming from behind the line, but it just seems like you're able to find gaps in the defense a little bit more effectively. Is that because of that combination that you've been able to develop with Bam, that they have to either stick to one or the other, and that you can kind of exploit whether or not a double team comes?
Yeah, I think it's just continuing to grow and gain a connection, and you know, I think what's one of the things that's difficult about us is that we can kind of hurt you in different ways. We're not steadfast on scoring off of one type of action. You know, we're not just a ball screen team. We're not just a catch and shoot team. We can do different things. And also when you have a guy like Bam that's able to put pressure on the rim, that's also very dynamic as well. So we're not stubborn in that if something's not working, we won't just continue to go to it, but instead we'll try to adjust and try to find ways to be creative and be effective.
My interview with Duncan Robinson wraps up in the next segment with his thoughts on where he ranks among the franchise's greatest shooters. Please make sure to subscribe to the show and leave a review. I remember Spo talking earlier this season that he was really raving about your passing ability. I think it was specifically like passing out of bounds on out of bounds type plays. And you know, we see a lot more of that in the bubble. I think you've kind of really taken a step as far as your ability to find cutters and things of that sort. You know, you don't want to just be known as a shooter. Do you think that there's some kind of inherent limitation in being viewed that way?
I think that I'll probably always have that reputation, just because that's kind of what I do first and foremost. For me, I try not to get too caught up in that, but instead, you know, I feel like I'm capable of doing other things, and a part of that is just getting more and more comfortable. So, I think I've started to do it a little bit in the bubble and just being a little bit more comfortable attacking closeouts and playmaking a little bit here and there for others when need be. At the end of the day, you know, I got to do what the team needs me to do, and what's asked of me, and whatever that is. And I think that I can continue to be more of a threat, and it will just make us more dynamic offensively. So I think that there's areas where I definitely need to improve, but there's also areas that I feel like I'm capable of doing already, and it just comes with, you know, comfortability, and just having the game slow down a little bit as well.
What's the biggest area that you feel you need to improve on?
Just in general, or do you mean offensively? I mean, we've been talking about
in general. Offense. I mean, in general, I'm curious what you think. I mean, how do you kind of self-evaluate your game? I mean, there's, you know, again, there's that reputation as a shooter, but I think we've seen that you're capable of doing a lot more. How do you see what your game is like, and not just on offense, but on defense as well? And what do you think has to be targeted the most for your area of development?
I think I can definitely improve defensively. You know, I think throughout the year, the game has slowed down for me a lot on that end. But still, just being more on top of schemes and understanding what offenses are trying to accomplish. You know, I'm not the quickest laterally, so being able to make up for that with kind of using my mind and processing things at a higher speed. So I think I've grown in that area. I think I need to continue to grow in that area as well. So I'd probably say, yeah, defensively first and foremost. Offensively, just continue to be more of a threat in all facets, and that's obviously the catch and shoots and the handoffs as well. But if there is an adjustment made in an attempt to take those things away, how can I still impact the game offensively? And a part of that is, as you mentioned earlier, just gravity and continuing to be a threat, but also getting to the free throw line. I think that's an area where I could really improve, just being a little bit more creative, having a little bit more moxie in terms of drawing fouls, whether it be, you know, getting defenders up in the air and leaning into them. It's something I've been thinking a lot about. I haven't quite taken the step into doing it in games, but it's definitely something that I feel like I'm capable of doing. As you know, you look at the best scorers in the league are guys that are getting to the free throw line, and my free throw rate isn't very high, despite the fact that I shoot pretty well from the line. So I definitely feel like that's an area I could get better.
You know, I can't believe I've just heard an NBA player use the word moxie. Is that correct? Did I mishear that?
Yeah, no, that was good. That was the right word. I think that was the right word for that context, right?
Yeah, no, damn right. I'm thrown off there. I don't think I've ever heard an NBA player use moxie, but yeah, not only did you use it, but you used it very, very well. I appreciate that. That's a word I don't think we get to hear enough of anymore, so I'm glad you brought it back into the lexicon. Moving forward a little bit, the playoffs, just a couple days away. What are you looking forward to most about this challenge? Obviously, it's your first postseason berth. I mean, you've been talking to the guys, I imagine. What have they been telling you? And what are you expecting as far as the biggest challenge for you to adjust to?
Yeah, it's funny. And I've been hearing all about how the playoffs is almost like a totally different game, how it slows down and how from game to game, how much they change. And that, you know, how one game goes isn't an indication of how the whole series will go. So I'm just excited to experience it. I've definitely been itching to kind of get to it, just because there's been a lot of conversation around, you know, young guys in the playoffs and, you know, how will they perform? How, you know, will they rise to the occasion? All that sort of stuff. So I'm just excited to embrace the challenge. I know it'll come with growing pains here and there. But at the same time, I feel like, if I just continue to focus on what I've been doing and continue to try to focus on impacting winning, then all those things will take care of themselves. But I'm excited for the challenge, particularly with this group as well. You know, I feel like we have a fun team that loves playing with each other, loves being out there with each other. So I think it'll be a good experience.
Is there a thing that pops out to you in the Pacers scouting report? Obviously, the last couple of games that you've played them in the bubble, you can't really tell much. I mean, they've been missing some key players. That first game, I think, was a little bit closer to what the series will be like. Is there anything that really stands out that you have to anticipate or prepare for?
Yeah, they're a dynamic offensive team, especially now with some of their injuries. They're basically playing four guards and wings, so they're an attacking team, a team that can score in a variety of different ways. You know, they mix in ball screens with catch and shoot stuff, and defensively they're tough. You know, they protect the paint and scramble to get to shooters. So it'll be a great challenge for us. We're excited for it. You know, like I mentioned, we're just itching to get it going. You know, we've been here now, like you said, for over a month, so we're excited to get to it.
Where do you rank yourself among the franchise's greatest shooters? I talked to Keith Askins. I don't know if you talked to him before, but obviously he's with the Sioux Falls Skyforce. Yeah, we were talking about, you know, some of the best shooters in franchise history. He mentioned Glenn Rice, a fellow Michigan alum. Where do you rank, you know, Ray Allen, Wayne, yourself? I think that would probably be some of the top shooters. Where do you see yourself as far as the franchise's best shooters?
Oh, I stay away from that sort of stuff.
Oh, come on.
There's so many guys that have come through that have put together incredible shooting resumes and have done it at such a high level. I think at this point, it wouldn't even be fair to throw myself into that conversation. I think I need at least a few more years underneath my belt before I garner that type of respect. But at this point, I'm just focused on competing and not comparing. So we'll see. But, you know, I have a ton of respect for all those guys. I think that, you know, even when people try to point at records and that sort of thing, I think it's hard to even do that just with how the game's changed and the pace and just the propensity to shoot threes now in today's NBA. So there's so many different variables, and I think it's hard to compare. But I'm certainly, you know, trying to chase those guys and continue to prove myself within the organization but also within the league.
Yeah, I mean, I know now what the answer is going to be, but I mean, you've had a historically great season, and I don't think there's any denying that. I know the factors you just mentioned kind of play into it. Obviously, three-point shooting is much more prolific than ever before, but I mean, everybody's capable of shooting this many threes. They're just not knocking them down with the same kind of accuracy and frequency as you are. I mean, you're having, again, a historically great season. Do you ever kind of stop and think about your journey and that you've gotten to this point, that you're one of the most important players on this team as far as their offense and everything that they're capable of doing? You unlock this team in a way, I think, beyond what other players on the roster can do.
Yeah, I will say it's been very humbling to see some of the statistics that I've been able to put up this year in comparison to others. Certainly something that I definitely didn't expect. You know, I have a high confidence in that I felt like I was capable of doing this and feel like I am capable of sustaining it. But I've also learned throughout my career that you can't expect anything. And that the moment you do, you kind of lose a step. So at this point, I'm just really focused. I know it's cliche. I know it's corny. I know it's probably a media answer, but it's the honest truth. I try not to get too caught up in, you know, these numbers or that numbers or how I compare. Instead, I just really try to focus on continuing to grow and improve, just because I feel like there's a lot of room there for me to do so. While I've fortunately been able to be impactful and help this team win, we certainly haven't reached our ultimate goal. And, you know, I think it's going to require me to continue to get better for us to do that. So I love the organization. I love this team. I love where I'm at. So I'm just happy to continue to show up and work every day.
That's Duncan Robinson, the best shooter in the Orlando bubble. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us about your experiences, and best of luck to you in the playoffs.
All right. Thank you very much. Appreciate you having me on.
So that wraps up my interview with Duncan. I hope you enjoy the conversation as much as I did having it. Remember that I'll be recapping every playoff game for you and continuing to interview other media members as the Heat make their run for the championship. You can always send in questions about each game or anything at all using the hashtag AskLOHeat. Be sure to subscribe and follow this podcast to get the latest episode as soon as it's out. I'm David Ramil signing off and thanking you as always for your support.
Wrap it up, B.